That if you follow this procedure, you do these three things, voila! Everything is going to come up roses. Everything is going to be wonderful. No, no. That's not the way it works. It is God's sovereign, providential decrees that control what happened in this world of ours, not our formulistic procedures to the spiritual battles we face. Come tonight, I'm going to talk, if I'm still able to talk. I'm going to talk about the decrees of God, His sovereign, providential decrees. Is this world His world? Oh, yeah, it is. And He will accomplish His purposes in His world. That's why the Bible says all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purposes. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And no man can frustrate God's purposes. But Daniel does highlight for us three godly principles of conduct that absolutely will, I guarantee this, it will help you to cope with whatever happens to you when the bottom drops out of your life. I'm not saying it's going to solve your problem. I'm saying it's going to help you to cope. It's going to help you to be at peace, perfect peace, because your mind is steadfastly fixed on the Lord. At the same time, we always must leave again to God's providential decrees, what He does in our life, in our family, and in His world. And so in verses 17 and 18, Daniel goes to his three friends, and I want you to notice something. He goes to them, and together, you hear that word? Together, we are told, they seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this matter. Now, that word together should tell us something. If we are going to get through the tough times of life, it goes way beyond our praying alone. Oh, yeah. It means you gather your friends together. It means those who are like precious faith, and you together, you get on your knees, not just you alone. We're a bunch of isolated saints so many times. God never called us to be isolated. It's why He called you into this church. This church, among other things, is to be your support system under God's sovereign control. He is your supporter preeminently, but He has given to you brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And you are to share your concerns with the, I don't like to share my concerns with anybody. Well, good luck. Because you're going to suffer alone then. You're going to suffer alone. You're going to drown in your misery. He calls together his four friends, counting Daniel, four of them. And together they sought mercy from the God of heaven. The Bible puts before us a fundamental fact of life, and it has a lot to do with whether we make it when the bottom falls out. The Bible says two are better than one. Why? Because if one falls, there's another to help him up. But woe to that man, says Scripture, who falls and there is no one around to help him up. Woe to him. Wow. Strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. That's a basic spiritual principle of survival. You need the family of God. I need you. I need you. A lot more probably than you need me. We need one another. We need each other. When the bottom falls out, immediately Daniel, along with his friends, draw near together and they seek mercy from the God of heaven. They pray. Their first priority in life is to admit their utter dependence upon the God of heaven. And when prayer becomes our first priority, that's what we recognize. We recognize that apart from God, we have no other option. We have no other meaningful resource. We think we do at times. God says, well, take this, take this, take this, take this away from me. You're going to find out. You don't have anybody, anything to depend upon but me. Without God's help, we never will be able to put things together again. Without God's help, we'll never be able to heal the wounds. Without God's help, we'll never be able to clean up the mess. Without God's help. That's what Scripture says to us. We need supernatural help. And that's why we pray. We pray because the prayers of God's people, listen to me carefully, the prayers of God's people are like a slender nerve that touches the muscle of omnipotence. Let me repeat that. The prayers of God's people are like a slender nerve that touches the muscle of omnipotence. And so before we put together our crisis management plan, we need to fall on our knees. Fall on our knees together and plead for God's enabling grace. And isn't it wonderful? The Bible promises, no good thing will I withhold from them who walk uprightly. Do you love the Lord? The goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the care and the compassion of the Lord who says, my thoughts toward you are good continually, never evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? You trust in Jesus for your salvation. Do you trust in Jesus? That he cares, your shepherd cares of what's going on. Oh, so many times we don't do that. Why? Why don't we go into God's presence more quickly? I'll tell you one big reason. We all seem to fall into the trap of thinking that we are fairly smart people. Where do we get that from? Maybe a lot of people told us we were smart. You know, it's just not true. Not true. How many smart people do you know that's dumb as a rock? Right? Yeah. Tell you a story. I grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And if you don't know where that is, it's where Harvard University is on one end of Mass Ave and MIT is on the other end. Lots of people think they're really smart in Cambridge. My brother thinks he's really smart. He's one of those boys that went to Harvard, H-A-R with a V and V-A-R with a D, you know. Harvard. That's a big deal. I said to him once, because we both went to Latin school, I wonder if I could have gotten into Harvard. I didn't want to go, but anyway, he said, no, I don't think so, Bob. I don't think so. I thought, you arrogant twit. And I want to tell you something. He's made a lot of stupid mistakes, and so have I, for that matter. I'm not beating up on my brother. But, oh boy, I can tell you some elections when he said, I know just the man, Bob. I know just the man. Oh, my goodness, I won't tell you who he thought was just the man, because you'll think, wow. Save us from all those bright boys, will you please, Lord? We've got a rescue plan, we think, because we think we're pretty smart. It is endemic to our human condition that we all tend to be wildly irrational about who we are and what we can do. Wake up. We ain't that smart. We're not that good. In fact, if God ever uses us, it'll be because of his grace. And because a lot of other people around us have had a lot of grace, a lot of mercy. People sometimes want to say nice things about the guy who's speaking to you, and I know better. My wife really knows better. I'll tell you a funny story. We're ministering out in California, and this church in the San Fernando Valley, Valley Presbyterian Church, they wanted to call me to be the pastor. And I tend to get kind of excited when I'm preaching and teaching, and they said to Gloria, "What's he really like?" And Gloria said, "Tell you the truth, he's probably half as good." Half as good as some people think. And he's probably half as bad as some other people think. I remember somebody came to my mom and she said, they said, "Oh, your husband is so wonderful." And my mom said, "Well, you don't have to live with him." Oh, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Daniel would say, "Don't you bite into that apple of thinking you're so bright, you're so good. Because if you bite into that apple, I'm telling you what you're going to experience, utter nakedness. You're not going to make it. When the bottom falls out, don't panic," Daniel would tell us. "Get on your knees with your friends and pray for God's wisdom. Seek God's favor concerning whatever it is that you're wrestling with in life." And so when you turn on the news and you see what's happening in Paris and you fear for what may very well happen here, get on your knees. Get on your knees with your friends before God. When we pray, we need to do something else, says Daniel. We need not to panic, we need to praise. Why? Because in reality, whatever is happening in your life and mine, or within our country, or this world for that matter, it's really not about us. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought. Right? It's about God. It's not about us. His purposes stand forever and ever, and no man can thwart the purposes of God. Again, come tonight, we're going to talk about that. When we praise, we lift up hearts recognizing that it is not about us. It is about our God. Wisdom and might, says Daniel, are his. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings, raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the simple. He gives understanding. And those who walk in darkness, they get light if they come to him. And so be at peace. Because God is not wringing his hands. "Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to this world that I created? What's going to happen to the United States of America that I blessed for over the years? What's going to happen to all those saints there at Bay? Oh, I don't know." God's not worried a bit about it. God knows precisely what he's going to do. Every step of the way he knows. And he will be magnified. He will be glorified. Some may read that message, verses 20 to 23, and say, "Well, of course Daniel praises God. Why wouldn't he praise God? It's easy. It's easy to praise God once you know the answer to your dilemma." Well, the dilemma before God's servant was not an open and shut issue. He now knows the mystery. He knows the meaning of the dream. But if you think his problems were over, wow, read the whole chapter. How would you like to put yourself in Daniel's sandals? He now has to go before Nebuchadnezzar. Saddam Hussein liked to think he was the Nebuchadnezzar of the 20th century. Well, guess what happened to him? But he has to go before this insane potentate, terrifying prospect, the message that he has to give. Stand before somebody who is barbaric, irrational. You don't know what the crazy guy is going to do. And you know he has the power to do it. So what is he going to tell this intimidating dictator. A tough message. He's going to say this, Nebuchadnezzar, your day is over. Woo! Is that man crazy or what? We'd say, poor old Daniel, steeple's there, but the bells are missing. What happened to him? He's telling Nebuchadnezzar, your day is over. Everything you have accomplished is about to be destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar. And in the process, you, O king, are going to be wiped out. Whew. I don't want that assignment. Don't tell me his problems were over when he praised God. No, they weren't. But he knew who was in charge of the problem. He knew, even though he lived before the New Testament, that all things will work together for good. Daniel's crisis has not been resolved. But when he praises God, he's reminded of this. His God is still in control. And he is. He's watched over you, hasn't he? You know, we sing that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Wow. We're going to sing at the close of this hymn, we're not quite there yet, about he hideth my soul. You know where that came from? That came from Moses. Moses says, God, I don't know if you're going to take my people all the way into the promised land. God, show me your glory. And I'll believe. And God says, I'm not showing you my glory. I'm not going to do it. You know why? If God showed us what he was going to do, we'd still be shook up. We'd still be shook. We'd say, oh, no. God, don't do that. Don't do that, Lord. No, see, if you do that, then this is going to happen. Oh, God says, I never thought of that. God says, no, I am not going to show you my glory. I am not going to show you what I am going to do, Moses. But what I am going to do is this. I am going to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to cover you there with my hand. And what do we sing? In a dry and thirsty land. And you will see my backside, but you won't see my face. But no man can see my face and live. What's God saying to Moses? He's saying, Moses, have I been with you in the past? Has my goodness been with you in the past? Think about my goodness. How many times have you called upon me and I've answered and delivered you and blessed you for the sake of my name? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. See the goodness of your God. And that's what Daniel had done. He looked back upon his life and he saw the goodness of God. And he's able to praise God knowing this. He is assured that he can have courage to move forward because he doesn't need to fear this king. He doesn't need to fear what seems inevitable is going to happen to him in life. In the past, Daniel had experienced God's goodness, and even now he is reminded that the goodness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. How long is that? It ain't never gonna end, friend. Till you stand before Jesus and you melt like a puddle. Because you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna stand before him and the bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. Oh my. I shall not look on glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced side. For the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And friend, we ain't very far away from seeing Jesus. Wow. What will it be like when I see him face to face? The goodness of the Lord. Do you remember when the Lord found you? You never found him. He found you. Do you remember that? Do you remember how he forgave your sin? He blessed you. Do you remember how many times you cried unto the Lord? He heard your prayer. He answered your prayer. He blessed you. The goodness of the Lord will never, never suddenly change. And that is why. A preeminent reason why. Not the only, but preeminent reason why. Daniel praises God when the bottom falls out. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock and covers me there with his hand in that dry and thirsty land. He covers me. He covers me. He always will cover me. And that's why Daniel praises God. Let me tell you another reason why. Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Wow. Do you know what that's saying? God loves to hear the praises of his people, and he inhabits the praises of his people. He moves in response to the praise of his people. He delights to bless his people in response to their praising his holy name. And so we praise him. Our circumstances, they may be bleak. Joy may seem like an impossibility. We may feel like a bird in a cage. But you know, even a bird in a cage sings, right? God says, sing. Will you sing? If we wonder, how? When we're in a cage, when the bottom drops out, how do we sing? The psalmist says, oh, he will be your stronghold in time of trouble. You will put your trust in him, and the Lord will not forsake those who trust in his name. That's what the psalmist says. And so you can praise him. You can be at peace in him. You can have joy in him that is utterly removed from the circumstances. It all is connected to the God of heaven. So when the bottom falls out, don't panic. Praise. And here's another reason why. We can praise. And we can know that God is in control. And we can know his peace. We don't panic. We pray. We don't panic. We praise. And we do one more thing. We do not panic. We proclaim. We proclaim God's goodness. Get busy. Daniel says, O Nebuchadnezzar, let me proclaim to you who the God of heaven and earth is. And in proclamation there is strength. In serving God there is strength. Do not panic, proclaim. Jesus said, he that keepeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. You keep your life, you keep it all to yourself. You don't tell anybody the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the wonders of things that he has done. You don't serve the Lord in the newness of life. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be defeated if you're not depressed. And worse than that. That's the medicine for our dilemma, is to pray and to praise and to proclaim, my God liveth. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of love so great that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Daniel proclaims to a pagan king, there is a God, Nebuchadnezzar, a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he reveals what yet shall be. He is sovereign, O Nebuchadnezzar. He is omnipotent. He is on his throne. Whoever we are, wherever we are in life, whatever has happened to us, God is saying, I put you there. Think about that. It didn't take God by surprise when what happened in Paris happened. It didn't take God by surprise when your health went south, when your finances went south, when your family went south. Didn't take God by surprise, because God is omniscient. Wow, think about that. He knows all things. He is omnipresent, all places, all times. He is omnipotent. That's your God. Proclaim who He is. Who He is. Wow. I have a friend, well, actually mentor. I've talked to you about everything I am in life I owe to other people. I grew up, as I said, in Cambridge. We went to Park Street Church in Boston. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Park Street Church in Boston. That's where America the Beautiful was written. It's an old brimstone corner. Right next door to the church is where Sam Adams is buried and Paul Revere and the parents of Benjamin Franklin. And history's all around you when you grow up in that area. I was blessed. I didn't do a thing to deserve that, okay? My Sunday school teacher in high school was a man who impacted me dramatically. His name was Alan C. Emery. He owned the Emery Wool Mills, largest wool mills in New England. So as a teenage boy, I really looked up to this guy. He was such a godly man. Wow. Alan Emery loved the Lord, faithfully served the Lord. Billy Graham came to him and said, Alan, I want you to be the president of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Alan Emery sold the Emery Wool Mills and for 40 years served as the president of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I've been blessed having that man in my life. He was a trustee of Wheaton College, and guess what? That's why I went to Wheaton. I'll never forget he came up into the stands. Homecoming. Bob, I've never stopped praying for you since the day you left my class. Wow. What a man. He wrote a book about his life. He titled that book, Turtle on a Fence Post. He was not saying that he was nothing or we are nothing. Just the opposite. He was saying God has put us where we are. God has protected us where we are, has provided for us. Wherever He puts us, whatever happens to us in life, never forget it. You're a turtle on a fence post. As Mr. Emery said, when I traveled in the country as a boy, if we ever saw a turtle on top of a fence post, we knew somebody put him there. He didn't get there by himself. So wherever you are in life, friend, somebody put you there. You didn't get there by yourself. And God was the one who superintended all. Now that ought to cause you to melt a little bit. We will come through our time of testing and trauma. We will come through it all because our God has given to us His word. Underneath, He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Trembling soul, beset by fears. We sing that, don't we? Thy God reigneth. Look above, dry thy tears. Thy God reigneth. Not against thee shall prevail. Trust in Him. He'll never, never fail. Thy God reigneth. I'm going to give you a benediction now and a benediction later. And I'm going to ask you to do something. A benediction isn't a prayer. A benediction is a blessing. Hold out your hands. Now, you're Presbyterians. You don't do these things, I know. Hold out your hands. May the God of all hope fill you. Fill you with joy and peace in believing, in order that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's Paul's benediction to the church in Rome, and that's God's benediction on your life. Put your hands down. Don't panic. Pray. Don't panic. Praise. Don't panic. Proclaim the goodness, the sovereign, merciful goodness of your God. Thank you.
As Pastor Bob mentioned, we're going to close with He Hideth My Soul. It's on page 496 if you're using the hymnals. 496, we'll sing the first verse, chorus, second verse, chorus, and then we get blessed with another benediction, I think. So would you stand to your feet now? He Hideth My Soul. Let's sing together.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows are dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows are dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
You love the Lord? He loves you even more. He does. He does. Think of how he's guided, how he's protected, how he's provided for you every step of the way. He loves us so much. And one day, gang, we're all going to be before him. We're going to be before him, and we're going to look around at glory, and we're going to see the Savior. Go in his peace. Go in the hope that he gives to you, because that's a hope that will endure. It's anchored in him. Go in peace.